time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here in Hawaii. Absolutely, just, you can't beat it. Anyway, 524-1080 is the number. If you care to join in and have comment on any of the things or some insight or that you want to share with us here at the station, we would appreciate it. And got a number of things I'm going to be talking about, but we're going to go back to the Kailua Bay, and it is so important. There are some new developments in that matter, the Sri Shim situation there, where I call it an incident because, unfortunately, it's been a common practice, and in some of the reports say an unattended death. And I, you know, I first want to say to the family, if you by chance hear this, don't mean to be openly talking about it and sound insensitive or if we say something that might be offensive. It's not intended that way. But I believe, given the circumstances and the manner in which by which this entire process took place, and I would submit to you that once again, the people we need to give thanks to and applaud for their work is the fire department, the EMS, emergency services, and the police department. I mean, they do things that I don't even begin to know how they do it. If the waves are big, they're out there. If it's rolling and thundering and lightning, they're out there. I've seen them leave the dock at Hawaii Kai, for example, on boats, going out to get a boat that had been hit by lightning. So they do their job. And, you know, we've talked quite extensively about the Department of Land and Natural Resources pre-Suzanne case, and we will probably be talking about them until the R leaves the DLN, because historically and habitually it's just been a wasteland, a dysfunctional agency, an entity, a vestige. You know, they call it a vestigial organ, an organ that really has no real function that we know of, but it just keeps hanging around. Well, this is the DLNR, and unless Suzanne Case and others, who she is very strong in the environmental community, and there are some issues we're going to be talking about with her, and I think that she has failed miserably, and I say this so all of you can understand. If you want to call up and defend her, then you've misspent your money. It's not about Suzanne Case. It's about what we have at hand here, a terrible problem. And while she is busy with, you know, some of her major concerns right now is killing cats and eradicating cats. Now, I have a concern for the environment, a greater love than the average Joe or the average Mary. But I try to be able to, when there's something of a great emergency or needing attention, then I think that, for example, she should have the ability, through all the things that come across her desk, that she should have the ability to assign a degree of importance or have a process where things be evaluated. So when someone dies, that incident shouldn't be treated as it's just a singular incident, because there are many parts to that incident. You start with, you know, well, how did this happen? How did we get here? How did we end up having a person injured? How do we get to a person being killed? Is our regulatory efforts, do we have the adequate oversight? Do we have adequate tools? What is our manpower? How are we investing our manpower? What are we doing? Let's look at Kailua Bay and make an assessment. What are the potential dangers? Is it possible that people are out there, and let's just say this debate about the flag, with the family having a flag, the divers having a flag or not having a flag, these kinds of things, the Suzanne Case and others and her predecessors should have thought these things out. That's why we have Ed Underwood heading boating. That's why we asked the Coast Guard for close to $1 million to fund us for boating safety. That's why we do all of these things. But then when problem or troubles present themselves, we are very elementary. We witness some things that are just mind-boggling. And so if you're inclined to think that this is an assault or attack, you know, the typical standard Friendly Isles approach, that nobody can say anything bad about anybody, so we just stand up and manure for the rest of our lives and try to sort through things. And we continue to complain about the smell, and then we complain about it's between our toes now, but we don't want to talk bad about anybody. And so I think it's disheartening that adults don't understand that when you looking at a government entity, that government entity is no longer an individual. That government entity is supposed to be at the helm, selected for that purpose, stating that they could handle it. And so you look at everything, and you're going to get questioned. And you should have viable answers. You should have answers that are sensible, not answers that, oh, we have no comment. And I'll give you a little background on this matter with Suzanne Case, who is the head of the agency of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, appointed by David Ige, the governor. And So what we see is, take for example, there are many issues, and I thought, well, let me call her up and see if I could get an appointment with her and speak with her and share her from my perspective and my observation and information. And I called her up, and it was as if I had cooties. You know, didn't really. I mean, you ever talk to an ice cube? It was probably, that's the best way I can describe. It's like, yeah, And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, here we are. You can't be receptive. But then there's a revolving door with other nonprofit organizations and Castle Foundation and Conservation Society International and others that she's courting and involved with, and they're concerned with the environment like myself. But she seemed to brush me off, and it's though, you know, nothing personal, I understand that, but it doesn't, my approaching her does not fit into her scheme of things or her clique. And again, these situations present themselves, people being run over by boats, and people being run over by boats, and then in turn being regulated by Suzanne Case. And I have a bit of insight on that. And Suzanne, you know, maybe you would have been less likely to be embarrassed if you reach out to people like myself and others. But if you're already predisposed and you arrive with the intent of separating and moving forward your own, quote, environmental conservation agenda, then I guess we wouldn't fit in. And then we see situations such as this at Kailua and many. And so not only the cold as an icicle or an ice cube, she presents herself when you contact her, when I did. I notified her about, you know, we talked about on the show here, millions of dollars being squandered on a piece of property in Malai Harbor and Maui. And there was a report that was conducted, an investigation was done and complete in September of 2013. And this was in when she came on. And do you know that Ed Underwood refused and Jason Redula refused to provide that document? And this was a closed investigation, and they claim it wasn't after the fact. I went to the land board and sat there, which she chairs, and presented testimony, and the land board said, well, they believe that I would be entitled to that document. And a couple of the board members said, well, if you're not doing anything with it, and it's, we think that Mr. Cox should get a copy of that document, and we'll provide a copy to the chairman or the chairperson, Suzanne Case, and she could look at it and redact any sensitive information. Want to protect the interests of, but they believe that the report. To make a long story short, Suzanne Case never gave me anything. I wrote back asking. She denied it, and they moved on. And this was a person who was involved. The situation was utilizing state property for profit and giving the state basically nothing, and then renting that property out to other boaters while we could have been making the money if the need was there. So, again, that's one of those situations. And she's been orchestrating and involved with, you know, she's had open-door policy with the Humane Society. And so when it comes down to looking at these issues, and we go out to Kailua Bay, and we reached out and tried to tell her what was broken, and she didn't have any time for that because, you know, Manalua Bay, she wants to get that going. And so we're really concerned. So I'm looking at this Sri Shim incident, and I call it an incident because, again, I don't know anybody out there, not even the coroner, not even anybody that would assign a title or describe it as a unattended death, for example, because while it may fall in, I don't know what their definition is, but if it's unattended, there was a person driving the boat, and understand there was a passenger aboard the boat. And then there was another, the stepson was there. And so I'm not taking issue with what the definition they use is unattended. But it just seems like they could have looked for the cause of death and been done with that rather than. And then an accident, as the medical examiner describes it, talks about it impacts the boat cause and the trauma, blunt force trauma. But again, this process is that, so if you hit someone on a moped, they close the freeway down or they close the streets down for hours. And so I'm going to share with you along the way here, and we're trying to reconstruct. And first of all, we haven't heard any official statement from Case on this matter, if you might recall. If I'm mistaken, then please feel free to call me at 524-1080 and let me know if you know better than I on this subject as it relates to official statements made by or offered by Case in this matter or her representatives. Something happened just Friday, and I've told you about my woes with contacting her, quote, communications officer, Dan Dennison, and Miss Deborah Ward, you see, the gatekeepers, to keep people like Carol Cox out of it, you know. But if it's regular media, as she defines it, she didn't have to respect me, even though public records request you making this. So I had asked for a couple things. The requirement to fill out an accident report within 48 hours. Well, they denied me that document. This was about 2.5-3 weeks ago. Then I made a request for the boat safety certificate. Or if you couldn't give it to me, could you confirm, yay or nay, that the person had obtained one? Didn't get anything. And on each time, I received this somewhat, I would describe it as a tongue lashing, you know, put you in your place, forgetting that I'm have a radio show here, forgetting that I contribute to many stories in media and Facebook, website, and what have you. But they want to define you. If you don't look like them, act like them, talk like them, then you're not one of them. And that them, can you just overlay it on anything, use your imagination. So this is, you got to understand the frustration that comes with this doing what I do, and you watch it. Now, keeping in mind, we've not had an official statement from the DLNR yet, or Suzanne Case, on this matter out in Kaneohe Bay, Kailua Bay. But just on Friday now, and try and follow me, because you're going to probably scratch your head until it bleeds and ask, what the hell? Their first thing was a press release, the first of formal official statement issued by the DLNR on this matter. And that was issued February 5th on 2016 at 3:30:54. That's when she hit the button, say send, Deborah Ward. And Miss Ward, this press release, it was, folks, the first time we've had an official statement from the DLNR on this matter. And the Department of Land and Natural Resources, it states, the Governor David Ige, for immediate release, Honolulu, a court appearance at Kaneohe District Court has been set on February 16th for Cy Hansen, 41, of Kailua, who was cited by the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Division of Conservation and Resources Enforcement, DOCARE, for operating a vessel without proof of completion of a boater safety education course approved for Hawaii. The citation was issued in the course of an ongoing investigation into a fatal boating accident in Kailua on January 9th, 2016. Violation of Hawaii Administrative Rule 13244-15.5A, subsection A, may result in a fine up to $1,000 and or not more than 30 days in jail. In addition to a condition to the suspension of fines and penalties, the court may deprive the offender of the privilege of operating any vessel in state waters for not more than 30 days. Right? That basically, that's what was the first one. And it goes on with more since November to all individuals who operate motorized vessels. And you get this long here. DLNR Boating Division goal through this rule is to improve on the water safety, blah, blah, blah. So that was there. Although the ocean seems like a very big area, there are many times and many waterways where boats come in close proximity to other vessels, the shoreline, swimmers, divers, etc., and every operator should know the established rules of the road to avoid causing injury or death. And she gives a look. That's what was the first press release, signed Deborah Ward, and media DLNR communications specialist. See, it makes it a little bit different when you're a specialist. Communicating specially, right? You do these kinds of things. That's, you produce press releases. So this one was on February 5th, 2016 at 3:30:54 p.m. time. So, and that was, the subject was news release. DLNR cites boater for operating vessel without safety course. Right? So, and less than 29 minutes later, Deborah Ward writes another press release saying this subject corrected version. She's asking the media, use this one. DLNR cites boater for operating vessel without safety course card. Quote, this is a corrected version of the news release. Please disregard previous email. Sorry for any confusion. And that one is absent, is missing in that second press release, is a bit about a court of appearance and what have you, as I read earlier. So that was the second one that she wrote to replace the first one that said it was wrong, so they redacted some things and said, use this one, and within 29 minutes, okay? Now, mind you, someone died in this situation, folks. This isn't kids' play. So, now, that was at 3:30, and she wrote the first, and then 3:59, she's retracting their earlier one and giving a new one in place of it. Then comes 4:55 p.m., 56 minutes later, Ms. Ward writes another press release, notice of withdrawal, dealing our communications officer on advice of state attorneys is withdrawing the news release issued today. Quote, DLNR cites boater for operating vessel without safety course card, end quote. This is to advise all news stations and news editors that DLNR is withdrawing this news release, which concerns an ongoing investigation. Thank you for your consideration and cooperation. And We didn't send one of these to Carol Cox because we don't like him and he ain't media and he's not a public citizen. He's a foreigner born in Africa or somewhere. No, I just threw that in there. But what you see here, now it answers a little bit of questions why we haven't had a formal or professional question or an answer session or a statement from Suzanne Case. Because her specialists, her communication specialists, are really not too special. Or something happened. What do you think happened along the way? I have my suspicions, and I've posted my suspicions online at Carol Cox and I Facebook Carol Cox, as well as I've also placed them on CarolCox.com, and you can see them. And you, if you'd like to, you can actually read the actual press releases. I've posted those up as well at CarolCox.com, so you can see for yourself that if you find yourself in an area that is governed or managed by the Department of Land and Natural Resources, you better have a lawyer to write you a statement ahead of time. And you better, if it's in the water, you better make sure it's one of those pins that don't erase due to water, or the, you know, water soluble. Just make sure, because folks, or leave a message at the beach predicting what's going to happen, because you ain't going to get no protection. You ain't going to get an investigation from the DLNR, because they're busy being led by Suzanne Case to kill rats, cats, bats, and whatever it is, because she wants to protect the environment. You know how that is when you love the environment so much that when a person can die and you just, oh, well, we don't have any comment. But do you know we got to get rid of those cats? Got to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. They're bad for the environment. Yes. Yes, sirree. And so you start to wonder, is environmentalism an illness, or is it just the way individuals saturate the industry and get in and don't recognize the total impact or the magnitude of the job and how far-reaching it is at every level, at every aspect? Boating falls under DLNR. So not just the safety of the people, but you want to make sure that people are not traversing over reefs, for example, and anchoring the reefs, you know, and busting them up. Or you think about impacts, and you think about the safety of those people that are utilizing these resources or partaking in whatever function within state waters. So it's a head-scratcher as to why they would, in fact, issue three press releases. And I have my opinions, and my observation is that they talk to the Attorney General, as they indicate in this press release, that was recalled or withdrawn, and in turn learn that you have failed. You have failed to, there's no logic to this thing. It's premature, ill-advised, and ill-conceived. So I'm going out on a limb and say that the lower-ranking files felt that they had to do something, because Ms. Case didn't give any leadership, and her policies, when she's busy trying to kill cats and rats and get her friend's money on Maui for the community fisheries unit, she wouldn't, these little things, you know, people's lives and welfare probably wouldn't cross her mind. You know, sometimes we get preoccupied, you know, because ka-ching, my friends, I'm the chairman of it, and I can move things around, I can make things happen. I can hire Bruce Anderson in the aquatics division, and then I can then just give him a four-day work period, and he can go back and forth to Maui or Big Island, and, you know, and gee, I often wonder, if he's only doing 4 hours, how does the secretary or anybody make reservations for him to have meetings on for public matters? Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, I just want to add some additional questions. Was there a alcohol or DUI test of the operator at the site? You know, if you get an automobile accident, they check you if you're under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And, you know, you'd have a field sobriety test done there. Mm-hmm. Another question, the fact is that he did not have the standard operating certificate. The boat is registered. Was the boat a registration of the date? I'm a former boat owner.
Mm-hmm.
So far as the jurisdiction, why is an HPD involved? And secondly, why is the U.S. Coast Guard involved? Did he have the proper amount of life vests aboard? Mm-hmm. So much, the people are in the dark, and I agree with you that you, I'm happy that you're bringing this up, but we need more of these questions answered. And when you get an automobile accident, when a guy hits another car and kills four people, you see all the information coming up in the news. But in this particular incident, it's like it's being a cover-up, because I don't know who Cy Hansen is. I know he's a member of Hare Krishna. And as far as we know Hare Krishna, they probably don't drink alcohol, but we know they do drugs. So why isn't all this HPD and Coast Guard part of the investigation? Now, if there was a murder aboard that boat, would DNR be the only investigative agency involved, or would you have HPD involved? So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's a cover-up, and it's disturbing.
Oh, it's very disturbing, and for many reasons. But let me, with great caution, and I don't sit here and protect anybody, but it's unfortunate that you're the HPD and you got to follow or be associated with this, because, you know, you and I think that they're law enforcement and they should, by golly, be out there. But it's not their specific purview. The DLNR handles the boating. The DLNR regulates the safety. The DLNR, when you see every year, there's a big story about they're going to the sandbar and going to arrest everybody drinking booze, right? But I've told you many a times on this show that they're not even trained to do breathalyzers, the basic stuff. They don't have the ability to transport. They don't even have a car with the proper caging to transport. Where are they going to book them? Many of them wouldn't know how to book a person. And then you got to go to the police department. And then you got to use, if the person doesn't submit to alcohol, you take a blood test, you got to bring in, the HPD got to bring in their staff or their hired people or consultants or whatever they are to do this. DLNR is getting a free ride. They get money from Coast Guard. Do they hand that money, a portion of it, to the HPD? So in other words, we are paying an entity, an agency, the DLNR, and giving them grants and federal monies and all to be the big boy on the block, but they turn and then impugn the integrity of the HPD because the HPD is limited. Coast Guard, they know that they had nobody to investigate, and that they being DLNR. So it could have been easily gone, just a meeting with Coast Guard at a minimum. The Coast Guard was summoned to look, to search for the person, and the fire department. So if you read the report, and I'm going to read a portion of it, and I think the average listener would be impressed and proud of what goes on with the fire department, the EMS, and the HPD. They got your back. The problem is that we've had these fancy people come in and be called chairman, and they rip and snip and divert monies and divert them to different directions for their own friends and special needs, and they leave these men out here with no proper training, no boats of the proper equipment, or nothing. And so now we think that, oh, well, the police department should have done this, but how can they? Because their specialty is... Now, in regards to the police department, they did loan or bring their CSI team, in which photographed the vessel and took some pictures and whatever it is that they do to preserve. You see, so everybody in that arena did their job. And the question is, what did DLNR do? The DLNR, they had men on the way there, and they called them off because they were told, well, the guy is in, and it's okay now. But then they find the person missing, and it takes them a while, and I have the actual report that we recovered. And it's just a sad event, period. And to add insult to injury, Suzanne Case is not taking on the responsibility and haven't taken on the responsibility, and then confusing this whole process by sending out and rejecting and withdrawing and recalling three press releases. You there?
Yes.
Yeah. So there are some serious issues here. I'm looking at the incident report right now, and that date source, this is from the EMS, Ocean Safety. Now, like I say, you folks should be proud of that. I mean, if anybody's doing their job, it's these people in the police department. The police department are right there, right on spot. They don't play around. And at 12:15, and I apologize to many of you, this might be a bit too much information, but I want to inform you, this is a formal report. Now, this report is available publicly, and the DLNR could have told us a bits and pieces and said that we've convened a meeting with the Coast Guard, as many of you are asking, and we take this matter serious. We don't have any specific comments about the incident itself, per se. But be assured, we've just every piece of resource that we have, we've done it. You didn't get that. So at 12:15 and 17 seconds, this is what the 12:15 seconds, they received a call in queue, right? And then it goes on 12:15:15, the caller hung up. So apparently it was the operator of the boat or somebody aboard the boat called to report that they had hit someone. That was at 12:15. In 12:17, multi-agency Honolulu EMS incident responding. Then at 12:15, 36 seconds, they're saying that the party called in and said the boat hit a person. Right? And then it goes on, and again, and apparently this is the driver of the boat or the operator or somebody aboard the boat saying at 12:16:24, it was commented that a 25-year-old male Caucasian, Conscience, chief was aboard, was breathing, right? 12:16:25 p.m., Ocean Safety responding. So this conversation on the phone with the office has to be, or suggest that it is the operator or someone aboard that vessel that hit the person. And then at 12:17:06, they say they're being advised the patient is on the boat. Then 12:17:35, caller unable to describe injuries. This is people aboard the vessel now. Then 12:18:45, it reports that or a little earlier, that the patient is awake. Then, boat is not at dock. This is at 12:18. 12:26:12, boat at dock. 12:38:48, DLNR notified. You get that? So, DLNR is notified in this report at 12:38:48. Now, DLNR was there at the site, So the questions are, just for chat, did you go out and take a boat and go out to the exact area and investigate? Or did you do everything along the pier, or just stand at the dock? Where does your investigation start? Did you take your car? There's a car called the 225 or 255 car that they use in boating investigations or boarding. You go on that vessel, and you say that you look at the number of people, you identify them, and part of your investigation is that because you now know that a major injury occurred, and you also know at the time that this party is missing, and so you know that, and so do you interview each individual and identify each individual aboard that vessel? And here's why you would do that, because if you don't, you'll find yourself hearing things like this in the public. Well, you know, Cy Hansen was not the driver of the boat. It was another kid, another person, the son of a son of a some woman that was in, you understand? And so that person that was driving the boat got on an airplane and went to New Zealand. See, this is, and then you and I, the general public, is stuck with trying to figure out, wait, what difference does it make if you know and you did your job and you were on site and you would have identified each party aboard that vessel and you would have interviewed them, and then you would, some of the basic things. How many flotation devices did you have aboard the boat, personal flotation boat, buoys or jackets that you have, or apparatus did you have? Did you have adequate number? You would look at basic things like that. And so, again, well, you know, it's not Cy Hansen that was driving the boat. It was someone else. So this is where the public gets frustrated. And this is where, when we don't expect Suzanne Case and her officers to disclose anything that would jeopardize the case or threaten the rights or infringe on the rights of the driver. I mean, it could have been an accident. It may be. But at this stage, the way you see everything being withheld and everybody is sequestering themselves and no speaking, being quiet and issuing out stupid press releases and recalling them back and forth, it invites, and rightfully so. Are you covering up for someone? Are you covering up for the many of the people out there that just the talk now? This is no facts, but the facts are people are having these concerns that this gentleman is part of the sect or the cult or the or whatever they're describing it as a cult, sect, or religion, or some group. That's Tulsi Gabbard. If you go online and Google Tulsi and Congresswoman Tulsi, you'll even see many references there and pictures of her and surfing with some of the people. So people are asking questions. And so when they ask these questions and they're getting no answers and nobody's volunteering anything from an official stance side of it. And by the way, this report that I got that I'm reading, it wasn't handed to me. We had to request it. So, but again, I would hate to be the HPD and the emergency service of the fire department, because you, the public, don't know which duties are for whom and who does what and who has the purview. All you do know is that, oh, the DLNR, they got game wars. They carry big guns. And they'll arrest you. Well, let me tell you something. These are some of the questions that we would like to know. How many cases have you done in Kailua Bay that you've issued since this law came in effect? How many patrols have you conducted out there? Other than now, the President of the United States, when he's in town, the DLNR has a team that goes out and protect the perimeter and provides safety, marine safety for the President or his guests or whomever. So how many of those patrols have you conducted? Now, again, I'm going to tell you, this is an opportunity. Hopefully this gentleman does not pass in vain and we don't learn from this. Now, some of you might think, well, you know, just really hammering this to the ground and just wearing it out and just because it's a topic to be talking about. No, I'm focusing on this in hopes that there be an importance, a high level of importance to assign to this, where we see a pouring of monies to train the men. People leave home, folks, going out to make a living, whether it's diving, recreating, and this is a prime place. The area is ripe for murder. Because if you don't have anybody that can go out and professionally conduct an investigation, you invite all kinds of craziness and potentially dangerous situations. What about a person who gets on a boat and gets out there and sells a service for hire, not in contravention to the state laws that DLNR enforce? Maybe a boat catch fire or something happens. And you don't know, but it was an unintended death. You don't really know. It was an accident. But it could have been many of things. So, basically, Hawaii is a perfect grounds. I can only think about the story about the gentleman took his wife to some island nation and went scuba diving, and they found that he actually murdered her on the water. How, you know, where do we have that here in Hawaii? Everything here is unattended death. You see? Oh, it was an accident. Well, the deceased can't speak for themselves, so, and you're not going to get much at the side of the dock. But that's where DLNR's investigation starts and stops. And I would hate to think that the influence is because Tulsi Gabbard is part of that group and has a close ties with that group, that somebody, we don't have any facts or proof of this, but the insinuation or the things that are being stated out there. And I would submit this, if the person that was driving the boat, and it wasn't Hansen, and he is part of that group and left and went to New Zealand, then our congresswoman should be on the phone calling them back saying, you know, look, that's just wrong. You need to turn yourself in. But you see, we don't know that to be fact. But I'm sharing that with you to say this is the kind of talk that's out in the community. Whether you like it or not, it's the talk. And it's the suspicions that are just bountiful, plenty. And yet, the DLNR needs to step up to the plate. Case need to abandon this thought about let's kill the rats and the cats. And let's go back in this World Congress for Conservation where we're going to wine and dine all the fancy people from around the world. And we don't even have the basic building blocks. Our own loved ones and citizens are dying and getting injured. And we're whining and dining the world body. We don't have any money to make sure, and we don't have the money to attract in hiring professional officers. Then we wonder, well, why do they hire the people that were kicked from the police department? Because there is a need for law enforcement, but it has been treated with such degree of lesser importance that this is what we got. We'll be back in the next hour, but all I can say is that there's a lot to be said about this, and we'll finish up. And 524-1080 is the number if you want to call in the next hour.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. Cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Sure.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and thank you for joining me. We're talking about a number of things. The DLNR, not my favorite subject, but wish I could tell you a little bit better things are happening and the goings on. But 524-1080 is the number if you want to call in, or you can get this at carol@carolcox.com, podcast later on after we go off air. Or anytime you can go to carolcox.com, and you can catch us live streaming at kwai1080am.com, and just click on that button and listen to radio anywhere you are around the world, folks. And so if you're over there in, on the Ninth Island there and you feel a little lonely and melancholy, just tune in. Go there. And if that's not working, go to carolcox.com, and you can get it live streamed there. So. And don't forget, on Sundays at 1 o'clock on Channel 54, there's always some good topics there that I've filmed and put on Olelo. And I tell you a lot, I hear everyone says, well, you know, we don't, the media doesn't do this, don't do that. And you got to go check this Olelo out. It's a process now, but my goodness, if you think you got something good to say, or you know, whatever, who judges it, you decide. If you want to have your word out there and participate in the airwaves, you could actually go to Olelo, and it's such an affordable piece. You film your own and edit it and do it. They even teach you how to edit. They even, I mean, this place is unreal. And so if you think you don't have a voice and someone's cut your tongue out or the cat got your tongue, you can go to Olelo and they take sign language even. And you can speak your piece there. And you don't have to listen to characters like me on the radio all by yourself. You could join in. And you just never know. Your thoughts are just as good as the next guy's. And so I would go to Olelo if I was you folks. And they're closed on Fridays, but, and you know, I'm not technically astute that well, but you go in there and they help you. They basically, they're at your disposal. It's been my experience. Some people have had some bad experience probably, but it's not a perfect world. And so anyway, but I would strongly urge you, if you only got one subject that you want to talk about and it's bothering you and nobody's wanting, the newspaper don't cover it for you, or you can't get the word out, your friends won't listen to you, you can force your friends to look at it and listen to it on Olelo. So anyway, do join in and do that. So I encourage you. And they have a process over there. And why am I saying this? It's about education. It's about communication at our level. And so you can even call this show, this station, KWAI, and they'll be happy to provide you the time and for a fee, and you could become a member of this family. So, and it's affordable, folks. But going to Olelo, so you'll understand the process. You can go in there, and they have these mini studios, and you have to work with them on it. I think one session is of $50, and don't quote me on that. But imagine you don't know anything about filming, and you don't know anything about editing, but you have this concern and this issue, or not even an issue, or your insight, and you want to just get it off your shoulders and share it with others. You know, because if you keep it to yourself, people are going to be sitting on the bus watching you, and you're going to be talking to yourself. And it's okay if you're talking to yourself in this day and time if you got earbuds on. But if you ain't got earbuds on and you ain't got the speaker on your phone, you know, anyway, need I say more. But you could walk into Olelo as uninformed as Carol Cox is, and be like Carol Cox, walk up to the desk and talk to them. And they have this mini studio, and all you got to do is, if there's a cost or whatever, you walk in, and they will film you and then help you put it on air. Hey, can't beat that. Then they also have it on demand. You can, it goes online on the computer, and people from around the world can see it. They even have a program now where you can get your word throughout the states now. Submit it at one station, and it'll be broadcast throughout the state. Can you beat that? So it's working, but instead you got to sit and listen to me. What a shame. You can do it. Anyway, carolcox.com, go there and look around. So, but in talking about the DLNR, and please, if you want to throw a shoe at me, go ahead. I've had worse thrown at me. So just but understand, if you can't tell them what they're doing wrong, then there's no communication. And if they ain't listening anyway, so why should they worry? You know, we can say anything we want to. They don't listen. But, during this Kai Lewis incident, this is a very serious matter. Man gave his life, paid the ultimate price. Stepson is injured badly. And meantime, and we've talked some about this issue a couple times, and this is a bill that Suzanne Case and others are supporting while this is going on out there, you know, in Kailua Bay. And it's a bill for an act, Senate Bill 2773. Being it enacted by legislature of the state of Hawaii, September 2016, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, the IUCN, will hold the IUCN World Conservation Congress in Hawaii. Yippee! The first time it has been held in the United States. As the world looks to Hawaii to demonstrate leadership on conservation, the legislature finds that the state of Hawaii can serve as a global model to showcase sustainable management of natural resources from the summit to the sea. Now that sounds, my God, why wouldn't you come here with all that? But in small print here it says, don't bother to, we won't be teaching you how to respond to deadly incidents involving boats, motors, and trains. We won't be teaching you about fishermen hooking monk seals, and some are dying because of the monk seal. You know that endangered species, it's one of the most threatened. We won't be talking about, don't come here to the Congress if you want to learn something about that. And, and by the way, don't come here if you think the Congress is going to teach you how to preserve land, because we just build the hell out of everything. You see, but be a good example. I mean, you know, good place to start here in Hawaii. You can learn how to grow houses, condominiums. You can learn how to treat native people like crap. You know, come here if you want to see that. Come here and represent the people. You know, if you want to learn, if you have an indigenous person or people in your state or your nation, yes, come to Hawaii and you learn how to treat them. You see, this is the most frustrating thing about life, when you see this kind of behavior. And we're talking close to $8 million when it's all said and done, a little more than that. And I'm trying to figure out, what is it here in Hawaii that, and I'm pretty astute to the environmental situation here. Don't know everything. I think I do, but you know how it works. It's okay. But coral, the degradation of coral reefs, and for God's sake, please, whatever you do, don't take them to Hanama Bay and tell them that this is how we will operate. If you go back home and you have coral reef, this is how you should do it, because this is how we do it here in Hawaii. Yeah, Hawaii is going to become an example for the rest of the world and sustainable. Now, I know I'm foul-mouthed. I mean, and you probably think I don't fit in society. Well, I don't, because enough is enough already. When you pretend and then you go out and sell people, you don't. The only thing that we have going for ourselves is when we see something is going to be built, a special interest group run up and grab hold of it and ask for money and buy that land. But overall, the state and the federal government has no say on private lands. You know, the Safe Harbors program is a program, but you're at the mercy of the owners of the... We still have Christmas trees being imported, and God only knows, and his prophets only know how many species are imported through that process. We want to emulate all things on the mainland in the rest of the world. Our sewage treatment plants are probably the most antiquated, dysfunctional things there are in handling waste. Our landfill is treated. Yeah, and Hawaii is going to serve as a place. You see, this is when you know our shoestrings are too tight. It keeps people walking, meddling, pretending, and doing nothing for the environment. We got the problem with the Lehua, rapid death. We have turtles with tumors. We have monk seals. We have, you name it. And yet, we are inviting the world to come here. So, as the world looks at Hawaii to demonstrate leadership in conservation, the legislature finds that the state of Hawaii can serve as a global model, showcase sustainable management of natural resources from the summit to the sea. That's the first clue that I have that I think some of our legislators are on marijuana. When, to be able to put this in a bill, knowing that we are probably the most saddest of all examples of environmental, we are encroaching on everything. Though the adoption of the Senate Concurrent Rule, Resolution 69-SD1, the legislature endorsed and supported a shared statewide commitment to sustainability through the integrated approach and targets of the Aloha Plus Challenge, to be achieved by 2030. The purpose of this act is to provide funding to directly implement 3 of the 6 goals outlined in the Aloha Challenge. Remember in the old days it was hot spots and biodiversity and sustainable? Now it's Aloha Challenge. You see, they always, a new crew comes in, and where's the money? What are we going to call it? Naturally, Aloha Challenge, Natural Resources Management, Clean Energy, and Green Workforce Development. Really? And here you are struggling in this state to even place solar panels on houses, which is a sustainable, renewable, huh? You pull back the sheet and there's everybody and anybody under the sheets with the industry blocking the installation and the sensible use of solar panels and solar power. Just one now. Funding these targets is essential to keep in Hawaii's environment unique, improve the quality of life of Hawaii residents and visitors, and maintain important revenue streams in Hawaii economy. Now that is an accurate statement, maintaining important revenue streams in Hawaii. I can understand that. That would be an honest purpose of cause. This act will add local jobs and green workforce training opportunities essential to the overall success of the Aloha Challenge. Okay, so we got that one. But now, meantime, Suzanne Case, having little or nothing to know about law enforcement and anything else, God bless her soul, but she's informed. She's an environmentalist. She's the head of Nature Conservancy. Not quite the same thing as governmental massive management, because there's so many aspects of the government, because they have the big picture and not a portrait to deal with. So Suzanne Case, and I've told you about the sea cucumbers and how she orchestrated that with this commercial fisheries or community fisheries unit to place this lie and chase her down, and said there was this big industry going on that nobody knew about, and yet DLNR has been receiving reports of sea cucumber harvest commercially for years. But you tell people what you want to if you think you want to get something from them. You know how that works. So while the Kailua matter is brewing and she's not chimed in and hadn't and got officers there that are not trained to do anything but walk up to the boat and stand around and go, I heard somebody got hurt. Yeah, not only did they get hurt, there's one missing. Really? Oh, I better call my guys and we better get out there in scuba tanks and dive gear and document, because if that's the case, we want to protect that and avoid such repeating. But no, because you see, Suzanne Case comes along and she was already involved in this thing and they got slapped down. If you recall, about 9 months ago, we broke the story where talked about them wanting to, maybe a year ago, NOAA, Conservation International, Case Foundation, not the Case Foundation, Castle Foundation, and others wanted to expand the whale sanctuary. We broke that story here, and a couple people called and said, well, you know, well, it was broken right here. So, that being the case, we got the Community Fisheries Unit. I've spoken with some officers, and it is a good tool, but not to have a specific unit for a 10-mile area when we don't even have boats or the adequate training or standard peace officers training of laws of search and seizure, rules of evidence, or any of that, or have the GPS systems or anything to go out and document. Because you see, when an accident happened on the water, you got current, you got waves, you got wind, you got rain, you got anything that will change it in a matter of minutes. So you can want to go there and be able to preserve that. Well, you didn't. So Suzanne Case, in Section 6, Part 4 of this bill, Suzanne Case moves forward and presents to the legislature. It's saying that the legislature find that she's supporting this, okay, and the legislators introduce their own bills, but they don't just go out and you got to go in and shop for it and sell it and pitch it. The legislature find that in order to see the benefit of the community-based marine management and resource protection laws, these need to be active monitoring and, or there needs to be active monitoring and enforcement of these laws. The Department of Land and Natural Resources Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement, in partnership with the Conservation International Foundation, wow, and the Harold K. L. Castle Foundation, launched a Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit pilot project on the North Shore of Maui. The purpose of the pilot project was to respond to the community's outstanding request for increased fisheries enforcement and presence, test the proposed model for dedicated fisheries enforcement, and provide outreach and education to members of the community about marine ecology, pono fishing practices, and fishing regulations. So, you see, when we already have in place a DLNR, which consists of a Division of Aquatics, and you have the forest and wildlife. So all of these components, if they work together, but if you bleed them and you take, for example, and you hire the head of the aquatics division and let him work 4 days, then you're really not committed to all this bullcrap you're talking in this bill. And we need to get away from bringing in private entities to run public matters. If they want to help on the periphery and help and pitch in, fine. But you don't get to steer. You don't get the wheel and be the helmsman. You just don't get that. But again, this leads to situations where you're busy trying to get $1.2 million for this nonsense, and yet you have a guy standing on the dock where a man has just died and another was severely injured, and he can't do anything but pick his nose and receive information from the police and the fire department, and you're being fancy and big spender by bringing in these projects. I'm sorry if you don't like what I'm saying, tune something else, but this is the craziness. You can't even get people to write a decent press release. I mean, three times is a charm, I know, but my God, come on. So, this is when you know it's not going to get better. The legislators should say to her, you know, stop. We're not acquiring anything else. We can't manage for what we have. We don't know the efficiency of what we have. We don't know the effectiveness of it. It's not being managed right. What kind of monies do you need to do several things, the basic functions? Train and recruit and train and educate the conservation officers in laws of search and seizure, laws of arrest and evidence and rules of evidence and all of that. And get them trained where they'll know about the Antiquities Act and preservation, historic preservation, and aquatics, and some of the game wardens, and that's what they are, guys, conservation officers, police conservation, whatever, they still enforce the rules of species. Many of them wouldn't be able to tell you a guppy from an oopu, and taco, or octopi, or whatever. The aquatics division, we talked about this, having a gentleman who, and this gentleman is affiliated with Suzanne Case, have had great contacts with the Manalua Bay, and as well as the head of the aquatics division, and that Fraser McGillivray, which we exposed using first-class tickets and flying around to throughout the islands and spending money that we really didn't have, but he was able to spend it. So we don't really need, and the sneaky way of putting this in into this bill, so if we get the union bill passed, the Congress passed for conservation, where the world comes here and wine and dying, and this will be slipped right in, and still we'll have a cadre of officers who have no standard police training. Then let's not talk about the poor radio communications that these officers have. You see? Let's talk about all of that. Let's talk about the ability to house evidence. Let's talk about the ability to be able to confiscate or seize a vessel and maintain it. And I know many of you say, well, they didn't really need to seize it. Well, so what? Unless you knew what happened, you want to preserve all things in the interest of the driver as well. So as far as I'm concerned with this matter, unless Suzanne Case changed her colors and this chameleonic behavior of conservationists, we don't need to be sending any money to any nonprofit organization. We don't have enough for our own basic needs. And ultimately, sooner than later probably, it only takes reality to come knocking when an officer is challenged and injured or killed or maimed. And could have all that avoided if he had the adequate communications, had the proper training, and all of that. Because you want to know danger in performing a job. If you think firemen have a dangerous job, try being a game warden for a while. You're out there in the black of night by yourself, and usually it's good if you got a radio. At least you can click it and say, you can find my body later, I'll be by this oak tree. But Hawaii, They sticking these guys out there. They leave home, man, going to do their job as best they can with the little training that they have. They don't know what they're going to meet out there. And all they got is, most of them have a cell phone now, I'm told, but some of them are having to use their own cell phone. Why would Case be chasing this dream money and sneaking this bill in through the IUCN Congress? Rather disingenuous, I think. I just think that she doesn't know her place and what her purpose in this position. All things, she's the chairman of the Land and Natural Resources, not the social goodwill truck for nonprofit organizations. She's not that. And that's where we're having a problem. And I just can't believe she can continue to be allowed to operate in such fashion. And the governor should tell her, stop, delete that. That $1.2 million that you're talking about, you see, because the same group of people that were involved talked about standardizing the training for the officers. And what happened to that? Much of that money on Kalea was squandered, leaving the agency wanting and having nothing about training. So there's a lot of trickery involved in this thing, folks. And it's always so good to be able to say, well, as a nonprofit organization, we work with the state and we initiated this and we were engineered this project and this program, and it's had great success. Meantime, it pissed off all of the local fishermen in certain communities. It deprived them of certain activities that they normally would be doing sustainably. And we are paying and allowing people like nonprofit organizations to take over the management and have great say in the management of Hawaii's natural resources. So, it's wrong. It needs to be corrected. But the situation with this is that they go on to say in this document, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Division of Conservation and Enforcement, is in partnership with these people. In partnership. Now, that brings me to a point that I detest, and one day I'll figure it out. But you see this such great involvement and incorporation of other nonprofit organizations and seeking millions on their behalf so that they can participate and on and on. And yet I can call them as a nonprofit organization on the EnviroWatch and I get the finger. So there's something terribly wrong with that. I'm not asking to be part of their program, but I'm simply asking, may I have a document or could I have a statement? And, for example, these press releases, I have asked more than some 15, 20 times over the years, as recently as 2 weeks ago, could I be placed on the press release recipient list? And still yet, I had to get these through some other means. So they pick and choose who they wish to, because if you're not singing their song in chorus with them, you're not welcome. And that's not good for the environment for Hawaii. The initial Maui CFEU Community Fisheries Unit pilot project was staff utilizing 3 assigned conservation resource enforcement officer temporary positions. Now, you talk about, earlier people talked about not having a staff sufficiently staffed, but you come along and take 3 and you dedicate them to your little pet project. And then they team with a CFE unit project coordinator and Makai Watch coordinator, and funded by private organizations, the short term of the pilot project proved to be highly successful by yielding high rates of compliance and community involvement. However, long-term compliance and community commitment is contingent upon permanent funding and establishment of the CFEU positions. Now, we already have game wardens. The state legislatures have already funded this. The state forefathers have set it in motion. We have the Department of Conservation and Resources Enforcement. So why do we need the Department of Conservation, Resource Enforcement, CASA Foundation, Nature Conservancy, Conservation International's project? Why? They can do it better than government can? Well, if that's the case, then just do it and leave our money alone. Don't use our resources. Take your millions and spend it, and then let us see your results. But it's all a shibai, folks. It's one big lie. It's one big thing of emotion that they want to meddle in government affairs. And it's not that they can do anything better. It's just that they don't have the constraints. They don't have the oversight. They don't have the requirements of transparency. They don't have legislatures breathing down their back because they're private. And once they get their claws in our monies, they're private. It's we can't disclose that. You can't ask us because we're private. Do we need that? So the purpose and part of the permanently established the CFEU approach throughout the state, the achievements of the Maui CFEU pilot project have proven that long-term protection of marine resources is an end product of enforcement, community involvement, and education. There is appropriated out of the general revenues of the state of Hawaii a sum of $1,200,000 or so much thereof as may be necessary for the fiscal year 2016 to 2017 for the Conservation Resource Enforcement Program for personal services, other current expenses, equipment, and motor vehicles for Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit. And yet, a man died in Kailua Bay, his son severely injured, and the game warden didn't have a boat to respond. And for a month now, though they've attempted to give you a formal statement, an official statement, they're just too inept to even do that. Big spenders, it's not their money. They got projects, man. And it's just unfair. It's cruel and inhumane to know that someone would want to drain resources that are much needed and rare and scarce to become fancy so that they can proclaim on the Geographic Channel that they are protecting Hawaii's resources and we're losing our butts. Coral bleaching, right? We have many issues here that a lot of the shoreline pollutions and the runoff and all of that. And our biologists, by the way, they're going to bring in, I think from Maui, they're going to bring in the full staff to attend this conservation unit. Someone said about $8,000. They got that kind of money, and yet we don't have the ability to go out and have a camera that is at GPS and document and film and photograph and respond like the EMS would respond. And by the way, I talked to a couple other people on that matter. There were two officers there for the DLNR. And one was in the Lanikai area and actually saw the boat on the way. So we're going to see if any of that is in the report. We want to see if what is in this report when it actually comes out. But I think it'll be later than sooner because they've made a great mistake and a misstep. And still yet the public is begging, craving to hear what happened. And rightfully so, because if you don't get those answers, what's to say, what assurance do we have that they are putting in motion things that would prevent any new incidents such as this? Yeah, I mean, you can't make a perfect world. But what are they doing? You see, and we're, they talk about educating the public and educating. And just so you know, when I say don't take them to Hanama Bay, see, Hanama Bay was closed on Friday, and it was closed, I'm informed, by some of the people and close to it, and I'm quoting them, because of broken bathrooms and sewage leaks. Now, maybe we should take the people from other countries up there and show them and how not to do something. But the trampling of the, there's no limit. It's just one big money cash cow that bring in money. The city have even taken money and diverted it from the organization that was it was intended to. And we just don't need that kind of, that's not good for the environment. And so I think that at this current pace, I think things will reveal themselves and will allow this to get better. But we're going to get some head knockings before we get better, I believe. And going back to that that complaint, I told you I'm under the assumption and believing that what I see here written in this ticket and how it was written and the timing of it, I'm saying that in the next couple of days you'll hear them announce that, or maybe they won't even announce it, that they're going to withdraw this ticket, the citation. I can't begin to tell you why they would do it, because they may know something, or they may, and will they seek to have it dismissed without prejudice, so that I don't know, and I don't know if this matter, the biggest part of this worries me is that while hurrying to cover their butts, I believe that the DLNR has erred and jeopardized this case. I don't know if it didn't charge the person, but what if evidence or someone comes along and say, this is what I know to be facts, you know. Does this issuing of this citation jeopardize it, even though it just charged with the claim the allegations are operating without a safety card? And then how many times have they issued a citation for this? So that's my biggest concern. I don't know if they will. I could be completely off target. But I believe that because of the manner in which they've handled this so far, they will probably find themselves in a predicament. Because even though it's just a ticket about safety and operating a boat, it still is subjected to the judicial system. And there's people's rights, constitutional rights, you know, and all of those things, and they have to be weighed by the judge. So what if they just say, look, have you had any more tickets issued? No, we haven't. Why don't you issue this one? So it might be those kinds of things that when they realize their record of enforcing this rule may be zero. And then this might be interpreted or taken as a means of trying to cover or confirming the theory that this was done by lower management or someone in the stream to try to make it look as though they've done something. You see, so it's kind of like the old cop thing, you know, you beat the snot out of someone and just abuse them, and all they were doing was walking on their way to church with their new white suit on. But then you go back and you do something to look for it, and then you charge them for being awake in public. So you make him look as a criminal or something of that nature. I don't know. But it sure raises eyebrows. And the, again, the community out there in Kailua and many other places, and if you look at some of the comments and some of the emails that I've received, I won't share them, but there's a lot of unhappy people, and a lot of people are saying that they are dissatisfied with this current appointment of Suzanne Case. And it starts at the top, folks. You know, if it was a police chief, you'd be holding him accountable. If it was chairman of the chairwoman or chairperson of the DLNR, don't care, or the head agent of the agency, then hold her accountable. The buck stops here, and that's what it has to be. So anyway, I'm going to be posting next week, probably. I'm trying to finish my project on the sewage treatment plants. And we've been photographing and trying to put that together. And I'm just puzzled. And what was it, Friday? No, Thursday. I'm traveling toward Waianae, and I see this humongous black smoke, plume of black smoke, and it lingered for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so. And it was coming from the landfill area, the Waimanala Gulch landfill. So I don't know what happened, if they had a flare-up of methane gases or some major incident or what have you, or brush fire in that vicinity. But we're going to be checking on that, because if you'd seen the smoke, you'd be gravely concerned, because that, as you see in California, there's an issue with methane gas leaking from an area, from the ground. And so this may be in the hydrogen sulfide and all of that up there in the landfill. So there are some problems, and rotting trash and what have you. So we're trying to follow that and see what we can come up with and for an explanation, and see if they actually file any information about it. So that's the thing we're doing, and also we're trying to figure out now, we got to contact the Coast Guard and determine when they're going to first start their work on removing that PCB contaminated soil and materials from Miley, the Voice of America site. And that should be initiated here soon. And we are going to be meeting with the legislators here this week regarding some of the bills that we talked about with farmers' rights and what have you. And we'll come back and share with you some of the results of that. And hopefully we get past all of that and come up with some good news this following month. And I'm looking for one document I have. But anyway, that's about it. I'm going to shut down here, and we'll see you next week. And see you tomorrow night on John Nolan's show at 6 o'clock. So don't forget, if you'd like to join in, give us a call. 524-1080 is the number.
Young girls, they do get weary wearing that same old shaggy dress. Yeah, yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness. Yeah. You know she's waiting, just anticipating a thing that she'll never, 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 never possess. Yeah, yeah. But waiting, and without them, try a little tenderness. That's all you gotta do. It's not just sentimental, no, no, no. She had her grief and care, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the soft words, they all spoke so gentle, yeah. It makes it easier to bear. Yeah. You won't regret it, no, no. Some girls, they don't forget it. Love is their home. Happiness, yes, yeah. But it's all so easy.
Welcome back for a minute. I got one of my listeners out there who's actually sent a picture, and I'm going to see if I can get permission from them later to post it up. It was the power plant, which is sitting right in massive black smoke. So I don't know. I mean, if you saw this picture, I don't know if this is permissible. They must have had a mishap, or if this is allowed, then I'm shocked. But from Kapolei, looking back at from that angle, it looks like it was right into the landfill. And speaking of the landfill, there we're told that there is no security at the landfill. At certain times, they got rid of their security force or staff, and some people told me they were able to just drive right in. So anyway. This is, again, the person says they saw it, they were in town and saw it from the airport. So this is how massive it was, this smoke. And we'll see what they had, if they had an incident. Or was it a cleaning or flare? I don't know. It was the HECO plant. I got a picture here coming out, so we'll see if they... but anyway, that's what's going on. And thank you, listener, for sharing that. And it was not the landfill. The way it's situated, looking for that angle, it looks just like, well, it's just right abuts the landfill. So, and a couple of workers said, yeah, they saw it and smelled it, but they didn't get any pictures. And we were able to get some photos, but not from the pipe, well, the towers of the pipe and the stacks. Yeah, there's a lot going on, and with this, I think they have a burning period. They can, but when you see this, if you were to see this picture, it just don't look good for the environment. Just does not.
shake my head.